James Russell attached himself to the Negro burial ground plaque just after noon Monday to begin a hunger strike. He vowed to remain chained in place until Niagara-on-the-Lake Lord Mayor Gary Zalepa promises on camera that the town will unearth, clean and restore the headstones buried on the site. The Toronto resident, who began his quest for restoration of the mostly unmarked graves just over a year ago, is locked to the post at his left wrist via a 10-pound gold-colored chain, the heaviest I could find on Amazon, he said. Any discomfort I might feel pales in comparison, he explained, to the pain and discomfort experienced by the people buried here, who came to this country under darkness, under the threat of death. Any dignity that I can restore to them through this protest will be well worth my own pain. Russell arrived on Mississauga Street just before noon dressed in a black suit, a white dress shirt, and black dress shoes. He unfolded a camping chair and pulled the chain out of a duffel bag, wrapped it around his wrist, and snapped shut a padlock to which he said only his wife Marilyn has the combination. Another padlock connected Russell to the signpost. She's coming on Saturday with a change of clothing for me, said the CEO of Manx Film Production Studios. I'll imagine I'll need to change by then. I've got about 16% body fat, he said. The average time a person can go without food is 14 days. I figure I'm good for about 7 to 10 days before it starts to negatively affect my organs. To prepare for his protest, the 76-year-old former newspaper photojournalist stopped eating solid foods as of Saturday. He packed enough water for the first 2 days, and brought along a copy of Ernest Hemingway's 1937 novel To Have and Have Not to While Away the Lonely Moments. A scarf and 2 foil blankets were folded inside the duffel bag to provide overnight warmth, along with some flashlights so he can read after dark. He tied a whistle to his chair to ward off any hungry coyotes. His cell phone is there to keep Marilyn apprised of his status as she worries about him from their Toronto home, and he brought along extra batteries to ensure he doesn't lose communication. It's not Russell's first protest, by the way. His first such act was in 1966 in Georgia. He also remembers being tear-gassed 5 years later at a protest at the People's Park in Berkeley, California. In Markham, Ont. In 2005, when a local mall refused to install security lighting to reduce overnight crime, Russell spent 46 nights dragging a generator and contractor lights from his nearby apartment to the mall and illuminated the area himself from dusk to dawn. On the 47th day, the owners of the mall installed permanent security lights. I'm not leaving, Russell promised. I plan to stay until they have to take me out of here. The background. Russell said he first discovered the site in the same condition it's in today in 1985, when he came to town in his photojournalism days to do a story on water quality. He was immediately disappointed in the state of the site of the former church. In November 2021, Russell petitioned the town to allow him to conduct a ground-penetrating radar survey of the old cemetery. Then, in May 2022, he hired Brampton-based Global GPR at his own expense to conduct the work. Their survey revealed 28 graves and 19 buried headstones on the historic site. He believes there may be more than that. According to a press release issued by Russell, last October, retired town employee Hans Paul admitted he and his co-workers laid down broken headstones back in the 1980s. Paul has said they laid them just below ground level, so the faces could still be seen, and maintenance crews could cut the grass around them. Russell insists, though, that the employees actually buried the headstones to make it easier to cut the grass. Russell then hired Archaeological Research Associates to provide a quote for the unearthing, cleaning and restoration of the headstones. That quote came back at $59,000. While a visit Monday from a representative of the Bereavement Authority of Ontario clarified that as the regulatory body of any work at the cemetery, the town, owner of the property, has the financial responsibility to see it done, Russell says. There have been many town councils over the 147 years that they've owned this cemetery, Russell said. The current town council is responsible for the shortcomings of the previous ones. Friends of the Forgotten. In the meantime, A group of citizens formed last fall with the goal of bringing the same level of attention, care, and respect to this burial ground as is given to other important historic sites in town. Dubbed the Friends of the Forgotten, this group intends to work collaboratively with the town, residents, and other stakeholders toward a similar end goal to Russell's. On March 21, council voted unanimously to support the work of the fundraising committee in principle. The town has endorsed the group as the official fundraisers for the burial site, and is now accepting donations for the site on their behalf and issuing tax receipts. Committee spokesperson George Weber was at the Negro burial ground Monday afternoon. "I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, Weber told the local. "I've done my own share of protesting. Anyone who has committed enough to a cause and is prepared to put something on the line for it needs to be congratulated. I appreciate the additional attention he's bringing to the project." Weber added, though, that the committee's work has also identified 11 other inactive burial sites in town that need just as much attention as the Negro burial ground. "We have to appreciate that the town doesn't have a bank account where they can pull out X amount of dollars to spend on this," said Weber. "There are other things the town needs to pay attention to. We are happy and lucky to get their attention when we do. The reality is the town has limitations. We don't want to dig up headstones," Weber continued. "That's too expensive. Our approach is to put up a mural of some kind with the names of the people who were buried here. I would rather that we do some thorough research and then create a memorial." But that approach is not sitting well with Russell. "George is a lovely man and he's trying to raise money privately," Russell said. "But I object to the town dipping into the pockets of the taxpayers who have already paid their taxes to maintain the cemeteries in Niagara-on-the-Lake. I don't want residents to have to donate the money to the town's website." The town's official response: in a press release issued by the town's communications department, Sow Marnie Clucky acknowledged Russell's hunger strike and said they were reaching out to determine what he is seeking. "The town is committed to honoring those buried at the cemetery and preserving heritage in Niagara-on-the-Lake," said the release. "Council has committed to a partnership with the community group known as the FOTF to restore and preserve this burial ground long-term. Staff is working with the FOTF concerning next steps and is currently conducting a Stage 1 archaeological assessment through funding raised by the FOTF community group. This process is being done in consultation with the Bereavement Authority of Ontario, BAO. Once completed, the results will be shared with Town Council, and next steps will be determined." The press release went on to explain that all work on the site must be conducted in accordance with the Ministry of Heritage, Sport, Tourism and Culture Industries, MHSTCI, current guidelines as well as the Funeral, Burials and Cremation Services Act. "Any work plans must be approved by the BAO and MHSTCI prior to project initiation," the document concluded. "The town will work cooperatively with these parties as it respectfully investigates and restores this important burial site and resting place of the parishioners buried there." The first 6 hours, besides the media attention that Russell received at the start of his sit-in, as the afternoon progressed, others dropped by either because they stumbled upon him and were curious or were worried about his plight. One local resident offered to bring him a glass of wine. He politely told her that during his hunger strike he would only be drinking water. Russell was pleased that Town Parks and Recreation Manager Kevin Turcotte dropped by early in the afternoon to ask him some questions about his protest. "A genealogist who lives in town came to talk to me," he added. "He offered to help me track down the descendants of the people who are buried here once we identify them. He gave me her contact information. He could be a very valuable resource once we get going on this." Around 6 p.m. Councillor Maria Mavridis was sitting on the grass conversing with Russell. "I was so concerned about him sitting here tonight," she told the local, then turned to Russell. "I promise I will try to get this on the agenda for tomorrow's council meeting." Mavridis then vowed to round up four other like-minded councillors who would all agree to support Russell's request, then began contacting them via text or email on her cell phone. "I wish I had known more about this before we did our budget," she lamented. "As a new councillor, there's been so much to learn. In addition to a visit from Mavridis, Lord Mayor Gary Zalepa also stopped by and told Russell the town had recently struggled to approve a budget, with many projects underfunded or deferred, and there is no money currently in town coffers for the cemetery. Russell says he is holding firm on the work being funded by the town, but if Zalepa gets council to agree to that at Tuesday's committee meeting, and guarantees it will be completed by the end of the year, Russell will phone his wife in Toronto for the lock combination and end his hunger strike. "I want the town to do the right thing," Russell said Monday evening, now wearing a gray scarf around his neck, "to restore the names of the Black Canadian settlers who are buried here in unmarked graves. And I want them to restore the dignity to these folks. I'll stay here as long as I need to ensure they do."